York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Here we are, and happy that you came by. Welcome to the Big Radio Show on this Tuesday, 25th of February, 2020. My name is Tom Sullivan. So Wall Street's all worried about a supply shock, that the factories were, not going full steam. There, a lot of them are closed. Some of them are getting back to work. But until they get their arms around this virus thing, a lot of those factories in China are not going to be fully reopened, which is going to lead to a supply shortage of things that we get from China. You don't even know you get from China, but you'll find out when there aren't any on the shelves. So that fear has led to another big down day on Wall Street. We finished down 879 points. The Dow now just above 27,000, 27,081. S&P down 100, NASDAQ down 255. So the Dow down 3%, S&P down 3%, NASDAQ down just shy of 3%, on top of 3-plus percent yesterday. So we're down 6 to 7%. So I personally wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't go another distance. I don't think anybody really... it's now the politics of it comes out. Now, I don't want to go there. This whole... I don't understand. I don't care if it's President Trump, President Obama, President Jones. I mean, it just doesn't... You can't blame a president for a virus that started 10,000 miles away. How can you blame... All right, so you can judge them on it. It's kind of like George W. Bush got absolutely eviscerated over the horrible response on Hurricane Katrina. So now the pressure is on the White House to do a good response to this. So I think that is why the CDC is coming out and they're not playing it casual. They're playing it tough. They're saying, hey, be prepared. Get ready. Pandemic could be coming. So I don't think they're trying to scare us. I think what they're doing is they're trying to make sure that nobody will blame them for sitting on their hands. The 10-year Treasury, we've got the... Remember the good old days when we would talk about the inverted yield curve, where long interest rates are lower than short interest rates? And we're back to it again. The 10-year Treasury is down to an all-time record low of 1.3%. 1.32% if you're doing decimal points. So this, wow. So interest rates are super low, which for those of you that borrow money, maybe you're looking for a mortgage. Maybe you're trying to expand your business. Maybe I don't know what you're doing. But this is interest rates are lower than they ever have been for 10-year treasuries. So when it comes, and by the way, that's not the rate they charge, but that is the benchmark that mortgage bankers use to price mortgages, is the 10-year treasury. No, they got to put some more. They can't just charge you the 10-year treasury rate. They've got to put a little cushion in there because of the fact the market will move around while you're trying to get your house closed. And they got to put a little profit in for them. So it's always more than that. But 1.32 is the lowest 10-year treasury we've ever seen, which should relate to a mortgage rate that, if you're looking for a mortgage, man, this might be the time. Never been this low. Yeah, call your favorite mortgage person and say, hey, Sullivan was talking about the 10-year treasury down to the lowest it's ever been. See what they say. Yeah, well, that's what's your rate today? So the markets are still in a supply shock. That's what their worry is. They're not worried about dead bodies. They're worried about factories that are closed and are not producing anything. Or if they are opening, they're opening very slow. So Larry Kudlow, director of the National Economic Council, and I've known Larry, he's always Mr. Optimist. You cannot find a dead bug that he doesn't think will come back to life. He is always an optimist. So he was talking this morning and said, oh, yeah, we have contained this. I won't say it's airtight, but it's pretty close to airtight. And while the outbreak is a human tragedy, it will likely not be an economic tragedy. At the moment, there are no supply disruptions out there yet. Okay, the key words for Larry, at the moment, right now, and the other word that was yet. So he knows, Larry is a smart guy. He knows that the ships leaving China are going to be delayed, at the very least. So we've got all that. Oh, we've also got a mayor. This is the mayor, Katrina. Oh, her name's Katrina. Katrina Foley, mayor of Costa Mesa, California. You know what happened in Costa Mesa? Nothing yet. They were going to move some of the people that are being quarantined because they've been exposed to the coronavirus. They don't know if they have it yet or not. They were going to move some of these people to beautiful, lovely Costa Mesa in Southern California. And she says, no, you're not moving them here to our backyard. Got 12.
Our city officials getting notice at 5:20 p.m. on a Thursday night to tell us that they're going to begin preparations to move highly infected individuals into Costa Mesa on Sunday. No. So there's just something not right. Our city officials.
What happened? Oh, okay. So that so that's they don't want any, they don't want those sick people around their town. You keep them away from us. So what do you want? I mean, what would you do if you were the mayor of your city? Would you say, yeah, we are here to help our fellow Americans? They are not well. They need help. They need care. But Costa Mesa, which is a beautiful city, no, we don't want your sick people. Nope. Stay away. So we've got that. And the markets are not feeling good about any of this. So, and then tonight, we'll see how this comes up. I will be surprised because it's too early to go blaming Donald Trump or the Trump administration. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the Democrats on stage tonight don't try and take a swipe at the president. Well, I mean, they don't like him and they want to defeat him. I get all that. But so tonight's debate, I looked, by the way, do they not drink in South Carolina? Is there some sort of blue law in South Carolina? I looked everywhere for a drinking game for the debate tonight. Could not find it. So you've got everybody's now questioning who is going to be attacked tonight, because now it's getting down to the brass tacks. This is the debate tonight. The South Carolina primary is Saturday, and the Super Tuesday is a week from the day, next Tuesday. This is a normal Tuesday. Next Tuesday will be Super Tuesday. So enjoy your normal Tuesday today. But there's everybody is speculating about since the last debate where Elizabeth Warren wound up and went after Mike Bloomberg. Bloomberg's going to be back on the stage again tonight. So is Tom Steyer. So you're going to have a couple billionaires on the stage. Bernie is now starting to really show some momentum with three states under his belt. And the polls are saying that Joe Biden is barely ahead, but he should win South Carolina by a slim margin, and that Bernie's right on his tail. So I don't know who's going to go after whom tonight, but what? We have somebody disputing the onion? I was just putting it in an order on Amazon. They deliver onions, don't they? Let's talk to Eric in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Hi, Eric. Welcome. You don't think that onion story is true? That's what I hear.
No, sir, I don't.
Why not?
Harry is the local town clown.
Yeah,
you can't go into a store without being there stuck for 3.5 hours.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What about your phone is not the best? Let me put it that way. What did you just say about 3.5 hours?
Sorry, I'm just saying, if you go into Carrie's store, you'll be stuck there for 4.5 hours. He tells you nothing but fibs.
Oh, so he's a great storyteller. So he's got...
That's right. That's what he is.
You know where his store is. Well, did you go by the store if he really has any onions around?
I've never seen any onions there.
Well, that's because it wasn't a disease. I'd tell you what.
I guess so, sir.
I wonder if he has a relative that has an onion farm going to try and make some money off this thing.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. You just think he's having fun?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But it is a serious situation, man. It makes us all scared.
You going to go buy an onion?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
No, probably about 25 gallons of water and maybe ramen noodles.
All right, so the ramen noodle and 25 gallons of water, and that'll keep the coronavirus away. I don't know what to make.
At least if I get locked in my house like they're doing in China where they're putting the bars across the door and locking people in their houses, I mean, at least I got something to eat, I guess.
Well, I would take the advice of just stay away from people. If you stay away from people, which I think is a good thing, then you should be okay. But I'd get an onion just in case. All right, Eric, thanks. 855-295-6600. We'll be back. So what's going on there? Because are we getting a fight going in Altoona, Pennsylvania? Is that Terry that's back on the line from the hardware store? Has he called back? If he wants to defend his honor about the onions, Eric called him out on it and said that it's not true. You go into his hardware store, it takes you 3 or 4 hours in there. All right, it's Kerry has called us back from his hardware store in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Kerry, you just got called out by one of your neighbors saying that.
Yeah,
I
am a storyteller. I do like to talk. I'm a BSer, and that's just the nature of the beast with my my personality. But
I understand.
I do have these onions out, and if this person wants to come by, they're more than welcome to come by the store and take a look at the onions. They are sitting here, so I've been asked so many times in the last 2 weeks. Actually, 2-3 weeks that you're selling onions today. I'm like, no, I'm not selling onions. This is the reason I have them out. And I told the story to them as much as I tell it to you.
Yeah.
So, again, the way I look at things is our ancestors have done a lot of things in the past. The reason we're here is because we didn't have modern medicine 150 years ago, 250 years ago, 300 years ago.
Right.
And our ancestors depended upon herbs, things like this, like natural ways of getting through the season.
The medicine man. Yes, that's what they used.
Yes.
All the normal natural stuff.
If you research, I read the biography by Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
And Genghis Khan's biography, he talks about, the end of the season, Khan what they would do is they would go back and eat a lot of vitamins. Well, they would eat herbs to survive for the winter. So that's what they did.
Yeah. He wrote a bio?
No, well, but they did a bio on Genghis Khan.
Oh, I was going to say, because it's been a while since he's been around.
Yeah, I'm just saying, when they did the bio on Genghis Khan, they basically found out that these guys would go back and they would definitely amp up their taking of herbs for winter, because it was the time of the year that people would get sick.
Right. That was no question about it. Do you know Genghis Khan had many wives during his lifetime?
Yes. Yeah.
I wonder how,
like,
that.
I forget, his DNA is spread throughout. I forget how many people have his DNA throughout the world.
Yeah, no, I wonder how he would do in today's world with all those wives. It was a different time.
Oh, in the United States, he wouldn't be. It's not legal.
So who was it that told us that you were talking about Onion as if it was from The Onion, the famous newspaper that is?
No, it wasn't from The Onion. Again, this was just something that I was researching the one day online and thought the article was fascinating. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try this. And it's something that I found that worked, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well,
it is what it is, Tom. I mean, and again, if this Eric guy wants to combine the store, he's more than welcome to.
Hey, you know, Eric, if you got 3 or 4 hours, go by. Tell us what you see.
Yeah, I'll talk about anything. It's okay. So.
Well, I understand. I've got the same problem, although they pay me to talk for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah,
you got to get one of these jobs. Yeah.
Yeah, but I am not the town clown. I will say that.
All right.
I found that rather dull.
All right, defending your honor. We got ourselves a neighbor dispute going. Friendly dispute in Altoona, Pennsylvania, at the What's the name of your hardware store?
Well, I'll just let it go. I'm not looking to get any advertising. It's okay.
No, but if people want to come by and see your onions,
it's Lighting True Value Hardware Store in Hollidaysburg.
Okay. All right.
In Hollidaysburg.
All right.
So,
well, I watch the True Value commercials, and they always talk about you can trust the True Value people, and I've always found True Value to be a good hardware store. So there you go. All right, Carrie. Thanks. I'm glad you called back. We got ourselves into an onion battle in Altoona, Pennsylvania. was this from Lisa in Kansas City that called in? Let's listen.
I was told to use an onion by a contractor in my home, so I tried it one winter. It seemed to work for me.
Wow. So this onion thing may be the real deal. I'm stopping on the way. I got to go. I got to go to the grocery store. I'll be back.
From New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
Hello, world. No, I did not go get an onion. No, I'm not. No. I'm finishing up some Chinese food. I had just opened up my Chinese cookie for the fortune. It says an onion a day will keep the doctor away. Bob wants to know, Tom, onions set out in the grocery store, how come they don't turn black? That's because there's no disease at the grocery store. No, there's no coronavirus. Oh, man, Dave in Carson City, you're throwing wet blanket on this. He says, according to Snopes, onions prevent flu is false. And Steve Johnson, here's an article about onions. See the article about the myth. They contract bacteria but do not draw it in. They do not or cannot purify a home. Well, according to old Chinese medicine, apparently, and Snopes, Snopes is saying, no, it doesn't work. What do they know? What do they know? There's another. Does cutting a raw onion and putting it in your sock cure medical ailments? Wouldn't it be kind of, when your foot gets sore from, that's what it is, your foot will be so sore, you won't notice all the other things wrong with you. All right, we're moving on from onions. So tonight, there they're going to be on the stage. There's six of them. And Bernie's going to be there, and Bloomberg's going to be there, and Elizabeth Warren's going to be there, and Tom Steyer's going to be there, and then there's those two that fight with each other over something, I don't know what, Klobuchar and Buttigieg. So I wonder if Elizabeth Warren is going to once again wind up and throw this at Mike Bloomberg.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. Yep. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
Yep, she got him a good one, didn't she? She gave him with a good left hook on that one. So then the question is, once she goes after Bloomberg, is Joe Biden going to go after Bloomberg?
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Yeah, so there may be some rough language tonight at the South Carolina debate. It's on CBS.
I'm not going nuts.
No, you are going nuts. It's CBS and BET tonight. I think it's getting to be more interesting to watch these debates now because they're starting to get nasty with each other. Like I said, this is the last debate before the South Carolina primary on Saturday, and then it's the last debate before next Tuesday, Super Tuesday. So Lonnie Chen chimed in and said, well, I don't know about the fat broads and horse-face lesbians, but she, Elizabeth Warren, is going to go after Bloomberg, and the reason why is because she wants to stay in Bernie's good graces.
Yeah, I mean, this to me has been a really interesting dynamic because usually it's the case that when you have two people who ideologically seem relatively similar, you've got to figure out a way to draw distinction. You've got to figure out a way to go on the attack. And we just haven't seen that. We've seen, if anything, Warren's been kind of a shill for Sanders, which suggests maybe she thinks she's a vice presidential possibility for Sanders. Maybe she wants to stay in his good graces. But it makes absolutely no sense for her to be going after Michael Bloomberg, who I don't think occupies any similar space. And I don't think in this race is where she needs to be. And so I'm puzzled by the fact that we haven't seen her go after Bernie more. And I don't think we're going to see it tonight either. None of the signaling we're getting from her campaign suggests she's going to do that. But conventional debate tactics would be you got to go after the front runner, certainly if that front runner is occupying some of the same ideological space as you are.
Yeah. So why is she going after? Why is she going? If she goes after Bernie, then that's going to be a head-scratcher because she's been going after Bloomberg. Why doesn't she go after the guy in front who happens to occupy the same lane, as they call it, that she occupies? It must be that Elizabeth Warren is trying to warm up to being a vice presidential running mate with Bernie. You can follow me on Twitter, the address at Sullivan Radio. Scott German sends me a tweet, says, the onion fact we really need to know is if I put an onion on my TV, will the Democrat debate go away? Yes, it will. Yep, you just put that onion right there. No, this isn't like putting garlic in front of a monster. Michael Nutter, former mayor of Philadelphia. He is on the team Mike Bloomberg camp. And so he is going after Bernie over his policies over the years.
Those of us who have seen that book and read the N-word that the senator used in two different editions, 1997 and 2015, I think voters, there's just a point in American life. I mean, white people just can't say that. And African Americans are still offended by that kind of commentary. And so when you look at his record as it relates to public safety, he voted five times against the Brady Bill. He voted to allow the gun industry, the gun manufacturers, the only industry in America, as I understand it, that is immune from lawsuits. allow people to carry concealed weapons on trains, on Amtrak. This is a dangerous environment, and as a former mayor, I certainly know, and Mike Bloomberg knows, that unfortunately, in many of our cities across America, guns are a very dangerous weapon. Illegal guns are a very dangerous weapon that people use to shoot and kill people. And yeah. Senator Sanders has never taken responsibility for that. He has not apologized for those votes and his earlier NRA support, and apparently did some of their bidding over some period of time. And, you know, black men are disproportionately affected by gun violence. We are 6% of the population of the United States, yet 52% of homicide victims overwhelmingly because of illegal guns. And Senator Sanders needs to explain and apologize to the families who over decades have lost family members because he has allowed the NRA to dominate the discussion as it relates to gun safety.
Yeah. So that's, former mayor of Philadelphia, Michael Nutter, on Mike Bloomberg's team, anti-gun, just like Mike Bloomberg. Bernie's from Vermont, where there's a big gun population, and so he has always had trouble trying to you know, deal with the problems with gun ownership, or and the people, his constituents, who like their guns. So this is, it's getting down to where, since Bernie is all of a sudden, their people are so scared of him winning, they're going to drag out everything. I told you, was it yesterday or was it Friday? It all runs together. About what he wrote, what Bernie wrote many years ago about women fantasizing about being raped. Well, I know it's true. It came up on CNN this morning, and Allison Camerota, the morning anchorette, said, "What? What?" Bloomberg's campaign spokesman went on to talk about other things that Bernie has promoted. Very loopy stuff, like saying women get cancer from having too many orgasms, or toddlers should run around naked and touch each other's genitals to insulate them from porn. So this is, oh yeah, the gloves are coming off. All of the wacky stuff is coming out. They're trying to bring Bernie down. Will it work? 855-295-6600. We will be right back. So Bernie's a leader. He's running runaway with the Democrat nomination, and the people that do the adding up the candidates and adding up the delegates, I should say, say that the guy after Super Tuesday will have an insurmountable lead, unless they stop. So they're, in the next week, between now and next Tuesday, you watch. Gloves are really coming off. So one of them is Bernie talking about China and how China has accomplished much more when it comes to addressing extreme poverty. Cut five.
But what we have to say about China, in fairness to China and its leadership, is if I'm not mistaken, they have made more progress in addressing extreme poverty than any country in the history of civilization. Okay, so they've done a lot of things for their people. Their economy now is struggling, but I think it is absolutely possible for us to have a positive working relationship with China. What I said back then and what I believe.
Yeah, well, what's interesting about China is that China has used capitalism to basically turn their country around from abject poverty. Because between 1958 and 1962, that four-year period, 45 million people starved to death in China. It was the largest social experiment in history. Mao called it the Great Leap Forward, but it was a disaster. And so the percentage of extremely poor people in China in 1981 stood at 88%. By 2017, it's less than 1%. We're living in extreme poverty. So did they improve the lot for the people of China? Well, the ones who survived were able to, through capitalism, it's a capitalistic society mixed with, I mean, they have embraced free market economics. They've introduced private ownership. They have reduced the once all-powerful state over the Chinese economy. Beijing still plays a major role, but they are truly in the middle of a transformation process. And Mao killed off 45 million people through starvation. So they would not allow private farming. They reintroduced all of that, private farms, private ownership, all those things that China is doing today. So in some weird way, Bernie thinks that they're the model, when in fact they have signed on to a little bit of what we're doing. And it's helped the poor. But we're not talking about people with low income. We're talking about extreme poverty. So he's getting a lot of pushback on that. The other pushback he's getting is because of the fact that he says, yeah, you know what Castro did? Castro, one of the first things he did was put in a literacy program. And there's article after article after article about people that were living in Cuba that got out of there. One of them, Fabiola Santiago, fled Cuba 1969, tearing into Bernie Sanders for praising Fidel Castro's education system. Mr. Santiago now works as a columnist for the Miami Herald. And she described the torment that she faced and her family faced when they announced that they would be fleeing Cuba. So she says it was propaganda. That this free education isn't free. So the literacy program was basically rooted in indoctrination and devotion to the one-party political system. That's what he taught them to read. So this is going to have an impact on Bernie when it comes time to, if he's the nominee, to try to win Florida. Steve Schmidt, he's a Republican strategist, John McCain's campaign guy, if I remember right, said if Bernie's the nominee, the Democrats can kiss Florida goodbye. Cut four.
She certainly didn't in the last debate. I don't have any idea what she's doing. Maybe she's auditioning to be Senator Sanders' vice presidential candidate. If you were just to look at it through the prism of what's most obvious, that's what her actions would support at this, you know, at this point. But I would say, Eddie, to the Castro discussion, right? Florida's gone. It's all over, right? Goodbye, right? That state was ceded, should Bernie Sanders be the nominee, to Donald Trump with those comments about Castro, not to mention all of the Central and South American immigration into the state with people fleeing socialism. But it's put a fork in it. It's all over, right? Done. And so when you go through the states, right, that will determine who the next presidential election is, then you look at the Sanders agenda. It's an awfully big bet to be making in places like Pennsylvania and Michigan that they're going to be receptive to his message of socialism. And you can go and listen, right? You can say democratic socialist, but we can also go to listen to Senator Sanders reading the Eugene Debs speech, quoting it, right, and saying, hey, I'm a socialist. This is who I am. The great socialist cause. And this is not a socialist country. This is a capitalist country. And American capitalism has lifted more people out of abject poverty by the billions all over the world in the fastest period of time in all of human history. It's the most successful economic model that there's ever been. It's alleviated more suffering than any other. And the idea that it's going to be repudiated by the Democratic nominee, I think, is, for Democrats, pretty naive to believe that this is a winning issue.
That's why they're freaking out. I know there's a, we talked yesterday, I went over the whole business about why people are enthused about Bernie Sanders. It feels very much like Donald Trump in four years ago, 2016, with how the party was trying to stop him and they were freaking out about him. Different character, obviously. But you heard Steve Schmidt talk about how Bernie reads Eugene Debs' speech. Eugene Debs was a founding member of the Workers of the World Party, five times the candidate for the Socialist Party of America. This is who Bernie looked up to and quoted. So if you think that you can win Florida when you are praising Castro, there is just no way. And like you said, get up into the heartland of America and start talking about your Democrat socialist ideas. So I'm fine with it. You want to, your party, you want to vote for whoever you want, but I think Bernie is a nail in the coffin for the Dems.